Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably most of you know about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. In the year 1174, Bonanno Pisano, an Italian engineer, began to work on a bell tower for the cathedral in Pisa, Italy. The tower was to be 185 feet tall. Construction started and three stories were completed, but then the tower began to lean. Pisano tried to offset the lean by making the new stories slightly taller on the short side, but the extra building materials only caused the tower to lean still further. Construction stopped and started again over the centuries. The tower was finally finished in the 14th century, but even now, each year, it leans 1.25 millimeters. In 1934, fascist dictator Benito Mussolini ordered that the tower be returned to a vertical position, so they poured concrete into the foundation. However, the result of that act was only to make the tower sink farther and farther into the soil. Well, what was the problem? Was it a bad design? Not really. Was it poor workmanship? That it clearly was not. An inferior grade of marble? No, only the finest. The problem was underneath the surface. The tower was built on a shifting ground that is not stable enough to support the weight of a structure that size. There was no firm foundation. A beautiful tower, but in danger of collapse. Perhaps you are in danger of collapsing. Perhaps your life is the Tower of Pisa, where in a certain sense everything is brilliantly designed and crafted, but it's obvious to everyone around you that it won't last and your eventual breakdown is only a matter of time. Many other buildings don't have the advantage of the Tower of Pisa. At least in that case, you can detect that there is a coming catastrophe and hopefully do something to avert it. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, I'm proud to say. And I recall a terrible tragedy when I was a child that occurred in 1981 at the downtown Hyatt Regency Hotel in the ballroom. There were two skywalks, and they were several floors apart. And then one time, I don't recall what the occasion was, but there was some high society to-do. There was a party, the tinkling of glasses of champagne, muted conversation, nice clothing, and a little bit of dancing. And as the evening wore on, people who were celebrating, they were dancing on these skywalks, which were supposed to be perfectly strong to hold the weight of the number of bodies that were there. But suddenly, the top skywalk simply broke and fell and hit the one below it, bringing both of them down, crashing to the floor, crushing 114 people and injuring over 200 others. Now, in that instance, there was no evidence. Nothing appeared to be out of sync. There was no problem with its construction as far as the eye could see. But the engineers and the architects and the craftsmen had cut corners, used inferior materials, had made this or that adjustment to save a few dollars, and the dollars which they saved were paid for with human blood. Now, my point in that illustration is simply that sometimes, as in Pisa, you can easily see the problems, but in other cases, you are caught unaware. A life that is founded on the warnings and promises of God is firm and stable and can withstand the storms this world has, but a life founded on any other basis will only come to ruin. Jesus used the illustration of the building of two houses in the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in this portion of Matthew chapter 7. And I think it would be fair to say that these two houses Jesus refers to would have looked pretty much the same to the average passerby. The difference between the houses was in the foundations. Now, Jesus wasn't giving hidden messages to the Masonic order, nor is he merely making observations about civil engineering. He is explaining to us the kingdom of God. The Christian church is indeed the house of God, founded, as St. Paul writes, upon the prophets and apostles, with Christ as the cornerstone. And furthermore, the psalmist writes that except the Lord build the house, those who build it labor in vain. Many of you are here today because you are in preparation at this seminary to serve the church, either as pastors or deaconesses or other dedicated laity. Jesus Christ is the one ultimately who builds and edifies his kingdom, not your labors or mine. And by his grace, we find ourselves in his service, becoming indeed the very living stones of the structure itself. What brittle clay he chooses. But justified by him and eternally fortified by him, you will not fall down. Like the unhappy Tower of Pisa, all of your efforts to patch yourself up, to improve yourself by fits and starts, to buttress one area only to find dangerous structural cracks somewhere else, are essentially futile. Our defect, you see, is something so basic, something so foundational, that instead of duct tape and bubble gum, we need simply to be torn down and rebuilt by the master builder himself upon a sure foundation which never moves. Jesus' own body is the temple of God. And while the ultra-Orthodox Jews and some modern Judaizing Christians look at a block of real estate in Palestine today and they place their hopes in a building made with the hands of men, we rejoice to dwell in the temple of God today, namely the very body of Christ, the Holy Church. We who eat the body of Christ are in fact made the body of Christ, an eternal temple not made with hands. And when God knocked down Solomon's structure in the year 70 AD, he proved that the presence of God is not to be found in the labors of mankind, but in a new and everlasting edifice, the man Jesus. He who had no flaws of his own took upon himself the very foundational defect which underlies all the other children of Adam. He became a sin offering in the place of sinners, making himself the willing recipient of the condemnation of his Father. Like a derelict building, he was declared condemned. That is, unsafe, unwholesome, unwell, and unsound. And he underwent the demolition we deserve. And so also was he, the first fruits, reconstituted fully in the resurrection, undoing all the errors of Adam, and more than that. I say more than that because what we have gained in Christ is greater than what we lost in Adam. In the summer of 2006, I spent a couple of weeks traveling by train across eastern Russia, and to help myself sort of get in the mood and the spirit of the thing, I read what many considered to be the greatest modern novel, Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy. And his famous first line of that 900-plus page book, that first line is right up there with famous first lines. He wrote, "Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way." Now, I mean no disrespect to the literary genius of Leo Tolstoy, but I think he's got it the wrong way round. There is nothing more boring than the catalog of human sorrow. Likewise, nothing is more interesting, nothing is more invigorating or beautiful and engaging than life in God through Christ. The new household of God, the sons of Abraham who share the faith of Abraham, you know joys even in the face of torrents and tornadoes. In Jesus' name, amen.